Where did God come from? Where, when, and how was God? You know, if you were to go back to, let's say, the early days of this country, when being able to get from one end of the country to the other was almost an impossible feat. And if they would have saw the transportation modes that we have today, right, the railroads, and they would have seen the airplanes and the cars, they would have been amazed. They would have thought, what wondrous gift is this, right? But we, on the other hand, we couldn't imagine being without it. Very few of us grew up or were born into a household where there wasn't a car. Now, maybe our grandparents would have thought that when they'd grown up that they would have been born and there may not have been a car, right? They could remember purchasing their first car, right? And so technology changes all this. And my point is that we don't wonder where our modes of transportation came from because they've always been there for us. But yet, when we talk about God, we have a hard time understanding something that has always been there. And I think the focus that we need to look at and the things that we need to consider is the limits of our understanding. Okay? If He is God, what supreme being is affected by time, space, or matter? Can you imagine God going, can y'all come on? I'm going to be late. I'm going to be late. I can't be late. Everybody is getting there at 11 o'clock. 11:15, they have communion. I can't be late. Can you imagine God doing that? Right? He's God. He's not affected by time. But some people want to bring time in on God, space, and matter. When did God become? Where did He exist? When did He come into play? If He's affected by these things, then He is not God. That's part of the problem when people think about God. They try to think about a limited God that is affected by time, space, or matter. Right? Great, the car won't start. How am I supposed to get across town if my car won't start? How am I supposed to get... They're waiting on me, and my car won't start. See, God is not affected by matter. God is not affected by stuff that we are affected by. Why? Because He's God. Just to give us a little insight, children don't feel the effects of what it's like to be in life when they're children. You know why? Because the parents take the brunt of that. They hold off the responsibilities of life as they grow. God has the responsibility for everything, but He's not bound by anything. And science says that this is a problem. Science says that no one is outside of our realm of understanding. You see, time, space, and matter in the scientific community is called a continuum. And what that word means is, because I had to look it up, I mean, continuum, you think continuous, so, but I had to look it up because I didn't know. You see, what it means is no part which can be distinguished from another. In other words, they had to come into existence at the same time. Same place, same thing. You couldn't separate one from another. Now, I'll make this clear here in a minute. In Job 38, 4 through 7, God answering Job when he asks, because he's asked God these questions, and he says, you've asked me, now prepare yourself like a man, and I will answer you. And he asked Job, he says, where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determines its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? To what were its foundations fastened, or who laid its cornerstone? When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy. Clearly, before the beginning of us, everything that we've ever known, everything that has existed in our minds, our world, everything that was written, everything that we have ever, ever known. Clearly, before the beginning of us, there was something there that was watching our something being created. You see, we are held by a finite universe, a finite planet. We're held by the laws of gravity. We're held by laws of nature. But there has to be something outside of that that set up those laws. They didn't just happen. Something watched while everything that we knew was being created. That's what God says. The morning stars, the angels, they were watching creation, our creation, and they sang for joy. And God shows the understanding of man when He says, "Tell me if you know these things. What are the measurements of the earth? Where is its foundations laid?" He said, "I know these answers, but you don't. You're looking for these answers, but I know them." You see, this is talking about a continuum. This is where we're at. This is where we exist. If there were matter and no space, where would you put it? This is why time, space, and matter had to come into existence at one time. Because they're thinking of a God that's limited by things. But if there was matter, if there was this, and there's no space, where would you put it? Where would you put it? You couldn't put it anywhere, right? Because there's no space. So you got something and there's nowhere to put it. If there were matter and no time, when would you put it? You see, science works off of these facts. It goes back and it looks at 50 billion years ago, 100 billion years ago, 200 billion years ago, 50 million years ago. Do you understand? See, science looks for the time of when stuff happened. This is why time, space, and matter had to come into existence at the same time. And you think, well, how is that possible? How could this happen? How could all of this come into existence at the same time? The Bible answers this in 10 words that we read in Genesis. See, science thinks that God can't be explained in scientific terms. Science will place everything that we have in either time, space, or matter, right? We either exist, we are somewhere at some point in time. Everything has been that way. History, all the theories that have come up, all of these things exist in the eyes of the scientific community. So a time when this didn't exist, that's not in their thinking. But Genesis explains how all this happened in 10 words. In the beginning, there's time, God created the heavens, there's your space, and the earth, there's matter. All of these things came into existence at one time. God spoke them into existence. And that's difficult for science to understand. But time, space, and matter didn't hold God. He created. They don't have an answer of how this happened. They said, "Tell me where God come from." And I said, "Well, you tell me where you have your theory of evolution." You know, they believe that that everything existed in this little dot. Where did the dot come from? Well, we don't know. What was the dot? Well, it was just dirt that exploded. You see, so basically science can go all the way back and they believe in dirt, whereas we believe in God. And when that dirt exploded, it sent everything out in centripetal force, right? That means that when it goes out, it's in a circle, right? Centripetal circle, whatever. Anyway, it's all going in the same direction. So explain to me how we have planets in our solar system that have moons, not all of them, but some of them, are now rotating in the opposite direction. See, that's not possible with their theory. They can't explain where that speck of dirt come from. I can. God created time, space, and matter and put a place for everything that exists that we've ever known. You see, the God who created these things must live outside of these things, or He is not God. I'll put this in a perspective that we can understand. The person who created the TV is not inside the TV acting out all the things that you see, is it? He created the TV, and that TV has limits. It has to receive a signal. It has to receive the right signal. It has to have the certain wavelength. If you have a TV that is only capable of 720p and you get it broadcast in HD, it's not going to pick that up, right? The TV that this person created has limitations. But the person who created the TV, being on the outside, he doesn't have those limits, right? He is unaffected by those limitations. So you see, there in a scientific way, in a scientific manner, in an understandable way, we can say how someone can create something, be outside of that something that he created, and not be affected by its limits. Science is not going to disagree with this, but they're going to deny the existence of God. They will not deny the existence of order. They will not deny the existence of laws that were set up that they can't go against. Right? Gravity. Right? Happen every time I let it go. There's never going to be a time right here that I drop this remote and it's not going to fall. You know why? Because it's the law of gravity. Cannot be changed. Who set that up? Why is it that way? You understand? See, science wants to study why that is. They have the answer of gravity, but they can't tell you why it exists. I mean, they can tell you, but they don't. But why? Because it doesn't exist everywhere. It exists here. There's other places where I could drop this and it would fall slow. There's other places where this would be so heavy, I couldn't even pick it up. Who set those in order? Right? If everything just exploded and went off in the same direction, then everything probably would have come out the same way. You take sand and you throw it, you won't get the same pattern, but you're going to get the same thing. Sand on the floor, right? Thrown out. Sand on the floor. And you do it enough and you're going to cover it up and there's going to be no distinction there. But we can understand in this perspective that someone can create something, be outside of the limits that are created by what was done. Time, space, and matter had to come into existence in the same place. Same time, or nothing could have existed. You see, in that perspective, we are gods who have created our own worlds. Social media, avatars. There are people who live through their avatar on social media as a real person. We have created our own worlds. Those worlds don't have the limits that we have. They've been created by man. Why is it so hard for science to accept that there could be something beyond their understanding? We can prove by science that God is not limited by the laws of this world. But science cannot prove to us that God does not exist. Science proves to us that there was order. Well, if you randomly do something, there is no order. It's not going to project order. You see, scientists believe that there was a speck of dirt that exploded. And like I said earlier, basically science believes in dirt and we believe in God. They can't answer where their dirt come from. God created the dust of the earth. He gave life to it. Just like the person had an idea about social media and a world for an avatar, which is a picture of yourself that you create that functions and interacts with a world that doesn't even exist yet. See, we can understand these things, but we don't want to give the glory to God. Science doesn't want to do that because, see, science can't explain God. And I know I have it somewhere in here. It might even be the next. I'll wait. Psalms 91 through 2 says, Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. Infinity is a concept we can't understand. Science deals with the beginning and the ending. Do you know what the Bible deals with? Anybody know? The beginning and the ending. The beginning of man's knowledge, the end of man's knowledge. Right? See, science is the study to understand why things exist. And the reason they exist is because God created them. So where did God come from? You see, everything we know and see came from God. Outside of Him, there is nothing. If in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, right? Time, space, and matter. Without God creating that, without that being there, there's nothing there. Because we would have never come into existence. Where would that speck of dirt been that science wants to say from theory of evolution? Where would that speck of dirt been had there not been a place to put it or a time to put it? They don't have these answers. God does. He said, in the beginning, I created this. He created everything that is the beginning of us to the end of us. And He tells you these things. And science can't rationally understand this because they can't prove it. They say that a spiritual being can have no effect on a physical matter. The idea is that spiritual doesn't take up physical space. So on the head of a pin, how many spiritual angels can dance on the head of a pin? They don't take up any space. So it's an unlimited number that can be on there. And they say that that's not possible. They say that spiritual things can't affect physical things. Then they would have to explain things like anger and love, jealousy and greed. Right? These have effects on us. And these are not physical things. They are mental. They are spiritual. They are thoughts. Science has limits. And although science is important and they grow and they push those limits, they still have limits. God does not. Just like the person that created the computer, the person that created the TV, they are not limited. See, Titus 3, 4 through 6 says, but when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us, through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. You see, our works can only take us so far. And then we're going to die. See, we can't work enough where we will live forever in this body because this body gives out. They don't have answers as to why certain things happen. You go to the doctor and they said, you know, your ankle's giving out. And say, well, what's wrong with it? And just say, you're old. Right? So I just got to deal with an old ankle? Yeah, pretty much. There's nothing to do about it. They're going to start replacing your ankle, your hip, your knee, your elbows, your shoulders, and the next thing you know, you're this mechanical thing that's not even alive anymore. They can't replace your heart. I mean, they can. They can do heart transplants, but it's only a small chance of you accepting the heart. There's only a small number of years that you'll get out of it, and then it will give out again. You see, science, our works, can only take us so far, and then we still die. The proof of that is we know how it rains. We know exactly how it rains. Science can tell you how it rains, but we can't make it rain. God can. Somebody makes it rain. You mean to tell me it's just a coincidence that it rains here and it rains there and it rains over here and it doesn't rain here? No. We can tell you exactly, science can tell you exactly how it rains. They can even tell you by looking at clouds and the cumulus and all this stuff that y'all probably know right off. I don't remember these things, but I know these clouds exist. There's different patterns and circular and big. And science can look at that and tell you by the movements of the clouds. See, they used to have meteorologists do this. Now they have computers do this. And they do a terrible job, by the way. The apps and stuff, they're worthless. If you want to know what temperature it is right now, they'll help you. But if you want to know what temperature it's going to be in an hour, they have no idea, right? But meteorologists can look at the clouds and they can say that the storm is probably coming this way doing this, and they're pretty close, right? If they just do it instead of letting the computers do it, but they can see it's getting ready to rain. Heck, even we can see it's getting ready to rain. We look up, we see the dark clouds, we see the leaves turn upside down on the trees. We know, we can smell it in the air, we can feel it. It's getting ready to rain. But we can't make it rain. God can. And you know how we know these things? Because if you look at the Bible talks about things. The Bible, if you go back to Genesis in the very beginning, it says that the mist from the earth had not risen up into the cloud, had not risen up so that the earth could be watered yet. Okay? Well, at the time that this was written, Moses, he wrote the first five books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Deuteronomy, and Numbers, right? He wrote these first five books. In the time that he wrote this, you know who didn't know that water comes up from the earth, gets in the clouds, and then the clouds get heavy and it falls back to the earth? You know who didn't know that? We didn't know that. Science didn't know that. God did. You see, if our brain was simply a collection of cells, as science says, and chemicals that evolved through millions of years over time, how can we trust the emotions that come from it, or even our thoughts? Because it was just random. We just were created random, and we have no order, we have no purpose, we have nothing. And so how can we, something that was created that way, that science says they all just grouped together grouped together and formed who you are. Hey, man, you know what? We formed in such a way that man and woman could get together and reproduce. What an amazing thing that just happened by chance. And so if your brain just happened to come into play for no known reason, how can you trust it? You don't open the refrigerator and pull out something that's hidden back there and you open it up and say, what is this? You know how long this has been in there? Well, we'll eat it, right? It's not what you do. You're like, I'm not eating that. You see, you don't trust things that you don't know. You just don't, if your mind just randomly created, how can you trust it? Nobody looks at a snowman and says that it just formed that way from the wind. Nobody does that. You know what they know? They know that some kid or some parent and some kid rolled the snowballs up, right? Went outside and they put it on there, and the mom went and got the scarf and the hat and everything. She's taking pictures while you're out there doing this, right? That's what's going on. And they know by looking at that snowman that somebody put some time and effort and thought into making that snowman. And I don't think you'll ever hear anybody say, well, that's ridiculous. You know, the wind just did that. Nobody would ever say those things. Our brains simply are not a collection of cells and chemicals. People talk about babies and they talk about them being a clump of cells and that they're not real. I can tell you one thing for sure. That's where we all came from. You want to say that that's not life? That's where we all came from. We all came into the world the same way. You see, a God that can fit, that we can fully understand in our little 4-pound brain is not worth worshiping. You can know everything that God knows, and you can understand why He does everything that He does. He's not worth worshiping. And I can tell you now, sitting here, don't you think there's something greater than what your life has to offer right now? Aren't y'all optimistic about the future? About going through school and getting into life and this great life, you, the great life that you have. Finding out it ain't really the greatest yet, but hey, it's better than being at home all the time, right? But it's a give and take. But you're optimistic about the future. We have to know that there's something greater than us. When you work for the common good, you realize that your sacrifice is worth something greater than yourself. These are concepts that the human mind can pick up on, that science can agree with, can tell you why, but we can't agree that there's something greater than us out there, that we are it. And I tell you that a God that we can understand in that way, He's not worth worshiping. Science is held by certain limitations, and where they make their mistake is they assume God is also limited. He is not. The God that you serve, the God that you believe in, He is not limited. He is not scared. He is not worried about what time it is. He is not worried about how long your salvation takes. He's going to work with you. He's not concerned about being someplace else, because being with you is the most important thing that He's going to do. Why would we have a problem serving a God like this? Why would we have problems understanding a God like this? We can understand the idea of a God like this, but we can't understand Him. The computer, there was a show. It was a movie. It was in 77, 79 or whatever. It was Star Trek, the motion picture, right? The Star Trek series started in the 60s and ran for 3 or 4 years, and it created a phenomenon, which it fell. I don't know why it was canceled, but it didn't make it, and then it has created a phenomenon since then. But the movie came out, and there was this force coming back to Earth. And he called himself V'ger, right? I don't know if you've ever seen the movie, but he come back to Earth, and what he wanted was to find his Creator. And what this was the satellite Voyager that was sent off, which we did that, and it was sent out into orbit and it got lost. It got sucked into a black hole or something. And the command that this computer had was to learn all that was learnable. And it had been all over the universe. All over the universe. And you know the one thing, after it learned all that was learnable, you know the one thing that it wanted? And it was destroying worlds trying to find the answer to this. It was destroying ships that come at them because it wanted to know the answer. One answer it wanted to know. It wanted to meet its Creator. That's who we are. Science can tell you all these things, but what science is looking for an answer is who is our Creator. They're trying to define our Creator. They'll never do it. Because science is simply an order to nature, right? It's why some women are born, some men are born. It's why we like certain things, we dislike certain things. Science can explain these things, but God created all of this. All of this. I'm telling you, we can understand that concept. Science backs that concept that there was a Creator. They just don't believe in a conscious, all-knowing, forgiving Savior. They can believe somebody. I think science could believe in something that created the universe, but they can't believe in a God that would be willing to forgive you for what you've done. Science can't understand that. Isaiah 46, 9 through 10 is my last scripture. Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times, things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. Since the beginning, God has told us how things were going to transpire. Science can't do that. They can make predictions, theories, but they can't do that with 100% certainty. God can. Don't ever let somebody tell you that science is the disproval of God. That's not the case. Science is looking for its creator. Science was given a job to learn all that is knowable. And once it comes to the answers of everything in the universe, it's still going to have one question. Who's my creator? Right? You know why? Because when it comes right down to it, when we really understand what God did for us, you know the one question that we have? Why did you do this for me? Why did you look at my life, my blatant disobedience, right? Why did you look at me and say that I was worth forgiving? Why did you do that? And that's an answer, if we were to look at God, that would be the last thing that we would answer. Why would you do something like that for me? I might understand somebody else, but why would you do it for me? I'm such a failure. Why would you do this for me? You see, science can't give that answer. See, science can't fathom the creation, because in our existence, matter cannot be created or destroyed. That's our limits. We cannot create something or we cannot destroy something. All we do is change its molecular structure. Right? If you take a piece of paper and you burn it, the ashes are there. And if you take the ashes and you beat them down, they become dust in the earth or they release in the air. But it's always still there. When you take a mountain down and move it and take the dirt and fill it in over here, you've destroyed a mountain, but you've created a plain for a house to be built, right? See, science cannot, and they'll tell you this, science will tell you this. Y'all have heard this, right? Matter cannot be created or destroyed. Ecclesiastes says that there's nothing new under the sun. All that has been done will be done again. You see, God understands our limitations. That's why we need God, because we do have limitations. We can't forgive ourselves. You might forgive me. You might not. I might not forgive you. We're not God. If we were God, we would understand that there's no way that we couldn't offer forgiveness to everyone. But that's not what we do. You see, when Peter stood up on the day of Pentecost, those people that he preached to, you know who they were? They were the ones that killed Jesus. And you know what he did? He offered them salvation. He offered them forgiveness. That makes no sense. He had the right to condemn many, but he didn't do it. One thing that science has is that if it's real science, it will leave open the path of discussion. The what if. So what if God is real? What if the order of the universe that science is looking at was created by God? What's your answer then? Do you know what science answer would be? Then we should serve that God. And that's what Peter told them. He said, that God that came before you, you didn't see him for who he was, and you killed him. And the people that killed him said, what are we going to do now? We just didn't understand. And he told them, he said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus, for the remission of sin, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This is the very understanding of God in our life, to be able to seek and find answers to things. Look, it's not going to tell you why the sun is as hot as it is or exactly how long it's got left. But it'll tell you how you can do things like listen to my parents. Forgive someone who has done you wrong. How you can pick yourself up every day and go to work. God is interested in your life, and He has answers. And if science shows us one thing, it shows us that you are looking for answers. People who rejected Peter's word, did they get those answers? They still did. You know how? Revelation 1:7, I think, says that every eye will see Him, every mouth will confess, and it says even those who pierced Him. You see, one day science, the naysayers, the people who rejected what Peter had to say, when they close their eyes to the limitations of this world, they'll know God. But by then it's too late. Right, we always say if we just knew, right? Hindsight's 20/20 is what they say. If we just knew better, God has answers. And you have questions. So what's your decision as we stand and as we sing our hymn of invitation?